How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. WWE Hell in a Cell takes place tonight. And if you've been following WWE programming, well, hopefully tonight, a lot of questions get answered. Not the least of which is, do we have a new WWE champion? I presume that we do, but you never know. And who is it going to be? We're going to talk about the entire card. There are a lot of matches on the show. A lot of stuff that's actually been built up for months now. And the big question is, are people patient enough to wait around and see where this all goes? I don't expect Battleground to have done a great buy rate. And if you bought Battleground, I'm not sure how many of those people are going to buy Hell in a Cell. So we're going to talk about the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view here today. All the matches top to bottom. And of course, that show begins just moments after we go off the air. Also, last night was UFC. UFC from the UK. There's some good fights on the show. It was no UFC 166. But we're going to talk about that show, all of the fights. UFC 166 buy rate. We don't have the buy rate in, but we do have some indications. And it was not as good as a lot of people were expecting. So we're going to talk about that. Why was that? The rest of the year, there were scheduled to be three big shows as the year came to a close. The first one has happened, and it didn't do what people were thinking. How does that bode for the rest of the year? Is the GSP show going to do well? Is the Ronda Rousey show going to do well? Or is everything slowly dropping to a, I guess a more manageable level is not the proper term, but is everything kind of falling to a new average, even the big shows? Are they falling to a new lower average? We'll talk about that. Plus, what is going on with Bellator? And what is going on with TNA? Both on Spike TV, coincidentally. We're going to talk about both of those shows. Plus, ROH TV, Bound for Glory, New Japan. So much stuff to talk about here today. And you'll be surprised when you come back from the break. The silky smooth tones of Mike Sempervivi's voice. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. We're streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app if you search Sports Byline. We're up there. As well as iHeartRadio. If you go to iHeart.com, check out the Talk Radio portal. You can find Wrestling Observer Live. The Sirius Satellite Radio app. We're available everywhere. And of course, the replay goes up immediately after this show at WrestlingObserver.com. So, if you sign up, or if you miss this show, and you want to hear what you missed, well, you go to WrestlingObserver.com, and there is the replay immediately after the show. In fact, the replay is going to go head-to-head with Hell in a Cell. And we have Mike Sempervivi here on the line to talk Hell in a Cell, the WWE's second October pay-per-view. And Mike, how are you doing?
There are no complaints whatsoever. What does it feel like that it sounds like? I know that I'm sitting in there right next to you in your studio now with the clarity of the MXL microphone.
It sounds amazing. It sounds good. Amazing. We should just be telling lullabies here.
That's good. Maybe we can do that at the end of the show as we do the lead out into Hell in a Cell.
That's right. That's right. All right. We've got Hell in a Cell to talk about here today. And obviously, since this is our job, I presume you're getting Hell in a Cell here today.
Oh, yes. Yes. I rolled the dice last time around when I was very ill and missed the show. And I at the last minute, I had my finger on the button to order Battleground and I decided not to do it, which ended up being about $50 that was not spent, which worked out very, very well. But I got to go for Hell in the Cell because I do have enough faith in WWE to not lay two eggs in a row, especially when you have so much that's supposed to be coming to pass.
Now, if you were if this were not your job, would you be getting Hell in a Cell as a fan? Have they done enough to convince you as a fan that this show is worthwhile?
Kind of, sort of. You know, it hasn't been the greatest thing in the world, but I think the story with how it's been built, I think being the average fan, I would not have gotten any of the past couple of shows, maybe SummerSlam, and that would be about it. So it would probably be about time again for me to get this show. Even though the build-up to this has not been the greatest thing in the world, whether you think that Daniel Bryan is being overshadowed by the Big Show or not, or however you view that sort of thing, as an average fan, I think you know it's building up to something, whether you like it or not. So I think this show's probably going to do pretty good. It's not going to do great or anything like that, but it'll certainly do much better than Battleground, because it does really seem like they are leading to something here. And if they don't have a good show, I think, you know, obviously if they don't have a good show, then people are really going to have a lot of faith lost, especially with the way the last one went.
Well, the big question is the main event. It is John. John Cena is on the show, but it better not be the main event. It's Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan in a Hell in a Cell match, vacant WWE title. Shawn Michaels is the special guest referee, and obviously the question is who comes out of this as the WWE champion. And I know that as of this moment, the scripts that people have seen for the show have not listed a winner of this match. Now that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a winner. I'm sure there's going to be a winner, but it does mean that they are being very careful because of the issues of late with betting. There have been, for months now, obviously, people in the WWE creative team have been putting money on these matches, and usually the lines really kind of, they really move about a half hour before the show. That's when the finalized script is usually done. And if you're wondering why the finalized script for a pay-per-view isn't done until 30 minutes before the show starts, don't look at me. I'm not in charge here. But that's the way it's been working of late. And so they're keeping it quiet. And my guess, if I had to make a prediction for this match, my guess is that somehow the Big Show gets inside that cage, probably tearing the door off, doing something crazy, gets inside, and basically he gives Daniel Bryan the win. And then on Monday night, Triple H and Stephanie come out and they try to once again strip Daniel Bryan of the title, at which point we get the return of Vince McMahon, who announces that, in fact, this is not going to happen. Daniel Bryan is going to remain the champion, and the McMahon versus McMahon Helmsley feud is going to take off leading into WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on this scenario?
I think that can make a lot of sense. To me, even though I think that the Big Show is going to interfere, I don't know if tonight is when I do the reveal of McMahon. I would probably wait on that for a little bit longer.
No, either do it tomorrow. Do it on Raw.
Yeah, either do it on Raw this week or even wait maybe one more week to drive Triple H really paranoid and knowing that, say, Big Show comes up tearing from the inside of the ring, you know, like he was under there all night sort of thing. You know, who let him in there or something like that. So I think you could even pull it off a little bit longer. And in fact, you know, I know that the easy thing would be he comes down and rips the door off. We've seen that a lot. Obviously, I think Mark Henry actually infamously did it, I think, the last time around, where he didn't actually get the door off, and it was very, very painful and embarrassing. I think it was SmackDown, and they had to do a lot of editing there. When the Big Show debuted in WWE, I guess it was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 99 or whatever it was when he left WCW, he debuted for Vince McMahon in a McMahon versus Austin match by coming up through the ring, and I can actually see them maybe doing that one. And again, obviously, it's going to lead to Vince McMahon. It's just, I would actually hold it off a little bit if you could.
Well, I think that holding it off from tonight, I think, is all right. But I think that if you look at the storyline, if you look at the way that they've done this ever since SummerSlam, I mean, it's now traditional that the day after the pay-per-view, they come out and they make sure Daniel Bryan isn't champion. And granted, they have dropped that aspect of the storyline of late. The old, he's not worthy, he doesn't deserve to be champion. They've dropped all that. But I still think that tomorrow they should try it again. And they've got a good excuse if Big Show interferes. Hey, this man interfered, so this championship win cannot stand. The title remains vacant. And then Vince comes out and says, all right, enough of this crap. We are leaving the title on Daniel Bryan. And I think, and this is going into the second main event on the show, I think that somehow John Cena does not walk out of the pay-per-view as champion, and they announce that it's going to be Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, John Cena in a three-way at Survivor Series, which actually does play into SummerSlam, when all three guys were involved in the main event finish for the title.
See, that's going to disappoint a lot of Daniel Bryan fans who are already very upset over the fact that he's been kind of overshadowed and talked down to and all that sort of stuff. But I guess realistically, if John Cena wasn't hurt at the time all of this happened, we wouldn't be getting a Daniel Bryan scenario in this anyway. This is a tailor-made storyline for John Cena. And yeah, I can see him obviously in play that way. Or maybe, I guess he could win the belt as well, too, and then, you know, have like Vince's champion against, you know, Triple H's champion. And you could do something like that, although it doesn't look like they have any, you know, intention on merging those titles. But it does make it interesting in the fact that Damian Sandow, who has been nothing more than a WWE main event product, who happens to be the number one contender because he is the Money in the Bank holder, has been very quiet, and him popping up like a Muppet on this show, or even somehow tomorrow night if there's something where Alberto Del Rio wears down John Cena's arm to the point where Cena barely wins and he's got to drag his arm into Monday night, that Sandow could probably be coming out of the next couple days here. It's realistic as SmackDown champion.
Well, if Cena wins, he's the new champion.
Well, either way, I mean, even if it's, you know, Cena wins and Sandow takes it tomorrow because he's so worn down and he has a rematch with Alberto, or if, you know, it's possible that Sandow does it tonight, I just think it's very possible that, again, out of the next 2 days, it's going to be Sandow walking out with the belt and not Alberto or Cena.
I tried to explain this to Dave last night, but apparently I did a poor job. There is a Cody Rhodes against, or Cody Rhodes and Goldust against The Shield and the Usos match. It's a three-way. And the Usos have been added. And my theory was that the reason that they added them to the match is because they didn't want to do a Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus The Shield match with a DQ finish. They wanted an actual finish. And so they put the Usos in there. And the reason they don't want to do a DQ finish is because they're going to do a DQ finish in the Alberto Del Rio John Cena match. And they didn't want two on one show. That's my theory as to why the Usos are in there. But I think that you've got to, if John Cena doesn't win, he's not being beaten. So you do some sort of screw job finish, and then perhaps in comes Damian Sandow. We'll talk about Sandow when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. If you've got a smartphone, go to the App Store, TuneIn Radio app, search for Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline. You can always hear the show live, and replays are available there. Sirius XM Radio app as well. You can check us out on iHeartRadio on the internet, iHeart.com. You can search and listen to the show live or the replays. And if you tune in late and you really want a replay immediately, go to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only does the show stream live from the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, but the replay is available literally the moment this show goes off the air. Immediately. So if you missed half of this show, and you want to hear the whole thing, head-to-head with Hell in a Cell, go to WrestlingObserver.com as soon as the show is over. The replay will be there available for you to download. Now, we are talking about the Hell in a Cell show here, and Alberto Del Rio, John Cena. And I have a theory, Mr. Sempervivi, that Damian Sandow is going to cash in tonight. And the reason I mention it is because he's been very quiet on the main shows of late. And I think whenever the Money in the Bank guy is quiet, unless he's promised to cash in, whenever he's quiet about it, I always come to the conclusion that he's about to cash in. And it would certainly make sense here, because you've got to do something with Del Rio, because it looks like the John Cena match is probably going to be a one-off, and then Cena will move into the WWE title picture with Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. So what do you do with Alberto Del Rio? Well, I would presume that you put him in a match with Damian Sandow after Sandow steals the title. Now, where would the Big Show fit in? That's another question, but we'll get into that in just a moment. What do you think about Sandow cashing in tonight?
I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, again, for the reasons that you said. I mean, he's been on Main Event. He's been on, you know, playing the background mostly on SmackDown. And they did see tease some things, you know, in the past with him and Alberto. But again, the fact that he's been so quiet, the fact that, you know, Alberto's got nothing else going on, the fact that you have Cena that's going to be plugged into the whole Triple H storyline. It makes the most sense. Again, it maybe doesn't have to happen tonight per se, but in the next 2 days, yeah, absolutely, I could see it happening. And again, Alberto has not exactly had the best of runs here anyway. And in the last two feuds, what was it, RVD, and now coming into this one, I mean, it's just he has not had a good run at all as the champion. That belt needs something. And SmackDown, where most of this stuff is going to be aired, you know, obviously it's secondary programming to the Triple H, Daniel Bryan, Vince stuff. But with that said, you know, that's supposed to be the top thing on SmackDown, and they definitely could use it over there. And Sandow's very entertaining, and I think we'll be fine holding up to his end of the deal. Now, where that puts Big Show, frankly, I could still see him in the whole Triple H on Raw storyline and being involved somehow, whether it's him and Mark Henry against the Shield or, again, something, anything, you know, in that over there on that side. So I don't know.
Henry, by the way, have you seen the picture of Mark Henry that he posted a couple of days ago?
I have not. Is he larger than ever?
405 pounds.
Jesus.
He's as lean as he has been since probably 1996 when he debuted.
Really?
Yeah, he looks great.
Sexual chocolate again, Mark Henry.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Hmm.
But I would expect at Survivor Series that they do Triple H and the Big Show.
That would make sense. And again, thinking of Mark Henry, too, it's probably, obviously, not probably, it is for the best with the kind of injuries he's had and the tears and everything else. It's not like, again, you said, you know, he was a rookie, you know, how far back now? It's been a long time since that happened. He was carrying around a lot of weight. So good. Hopefully that means Mark Henry would be able to just stick around for a little while when he comes back.
So we would have for a Survivor Series card. What do you think about this? Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton and John Cena in a three-way for the WWE title. Alberto Del Rio versus Damian Sandow for the world title. And Triple H versus The Big Show. And then probably an eight-man tag of some sort involving The Shield and maybe one other guy against Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and then two other babyfaces. It's a pretty good show.
I could handle that. Yeah, absolutely. Now, where's Shawn Michaels?
Back home.
Okay, so he'll be quickly done after tonight, or do you think he gets beat up on Raw for counting the pin for Daniel Bryan?
I think that they will just, I think he won't even be on Raw, and they'll focus on the Big Show, and he just will disappear for the time being until they need him again.
Hmm. Of course, you know what also could be on the Survivor Series show is CM Punk and Ryback again.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's probably likely, especially Dave's theory is that Ryback is going to beat Punk, and then somehow Punk is going to get a hold of Paul Heyman. I'm not quite sure how that works, but, I mean, I don't know what you do here. I mean, CM Punk, the interviews he's been doing, as Dave noted, he's not guaranteeing, promising a win, that sort of thing. So my guess is he's not winning. Now, does he nearly get his hands on Heyman again? And because he's so greedy, again, Ryback takes him out again, and then you do a stipulation again at Survivor Series where this time, for real, if Punk wins, he gets his hands on Paul Heyman. Maybe too little too late. They've done this Paul Heyman CM Punk thing so many times that it almost feels like they got to finish it off tonight, but they're in a cell. So I guess Ryback could win, and then Punk could give him such a beating that he gets his hands on Heyman and lays him out with a beating as well. And then somehow you just do another match between the two at Survivor Series, no stips or whatever, and Paul Heyman's gone. I suppose that's possible.
Or hanging in a shark cage above the ring or something like that.
The old shark cage gimmick, yeah, you could do that.
Well, the last match, Ryback actually, CM Punk beat Ryback, right? By DQ, or it was a low blow, I think, and then he beat him?
It was a low blow and pin. He pinned the Ryback.
So in the world of WWE, they could be looking at this as, you know, maybe he does get his hands a little bit on Heyman tonight, but Ryback gets the win, now it's 1-1, and then we lead to Survivor Series, even though, obviously, the way they've played this, it's almost been like Punk has got to get his hands on Heyman tonight, which, again, he can get his hands on him tonight, but he may not get that final justice that he's looking for.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the feud has to continue. They've only done two matches, and traditionally of late, it's been three pay-per-view programs. And, I mean, what else do you do with both guys once his feud is over? So,
well, exactly, and what do you do if he truly does get his hands on Heyman? Then does anyone really want to see Ryback and CM Punk without the specter of Heyman dying?
Well, I think the idea would be that Punk destroys Heyman, and Ryback is really upset that his buddy has been destroyed. Paul would have to be off TV for a while, and Ryback...
he does hate bullies.
Valiant, yeah, that's right. He hates bullies and he vows revenge.
It's about as good as it's going to be able to get with that. I don't know. I know a lot of people like Ryback. I don't know.
Ryback is
see,
so much better than he's been in so long. He's
it's
this
true,
is the best
but I would
he's
rather
been.
See him slam like into Big E Langston at top speed than have the whole thing with CM Punk.
That was a good segue. Big E Langston is working the pre-show match. He is facing Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental title. That's right. So
poor Curtis.
It is possible that Big E Langston is going to leave as the Intercontinental champion here tonight. I'd be happy with that.
Absolutely. As well, he should, too. I mean, obviously, I don't know... You know, Paul has thrown his hands up with Curtis Axel. It just has not clicked, and it's too bad because Curtis Axel is, again, very talented, but it is just it did not click at all. And him being run over by Big E Langston, which, you know, accomplishes getting Big E, you know, something going on. I don't think, unlike some of the other guys who have won Intercontinental and U.S. championships, that he is going to disappear into the ether. I think it's going to be like a Dean Ambrose or a Shield thing where it actually is going to prop him up a little bit and get him into something a little bit more major, which is not only what the belt needs, but what Big E needs after being gone for so long. Plus, for those people who hadn't seen him be a true babyface on NXT, they're going to get a chance to see that now.
I just think that if Paul's leaving, which is likely after the Hell in a Cell match, if Paul's leaving, I just don't see anybody caring at all about Curtis Axel going out there every week with the title. So I figure Big E Langston is winning the belt, and maybe Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman are both gone for a while, and they can come back together or whatever the deal is. But I don't know, poor Curtis, dude just ain't getting over.
Maybe Ryback starts to bully Curtis Axel.
You could do that.
You know, or something like that.
He blames him for Heyman being gone. Like, you know, why didn't you come out and tear the cage door off like the Big Show did? What's wrong with you?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, Axel, you know, obviously it's his fault that he couldn't beat the time and ended up getting Paul into this predicament with CM Punk anyway.
We have AJ Lee against Brie Bella for the Divas title. And everyone should be able to see the storyline a mile away. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella as double champions. They could do that tonight, which could lead to Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella as double champions, going head-to-head with John Cena and Nikki Bella to try to see if the King and Queen can win the title from, what would they be, the Prince and Princess of WWE? Or would that be?
Since you said it like that, I don't care what happens. I will not be satisfied until we see a return of King Booker and Queen Charmel to be put in that scenario as well.
I would not hold your breath about that one. You never
Darn
know.
It.
You never know. Who do you, I will expect Brie Bella to win.
That's what I would say too. And I don't know if, you know, AJ should probably be a tool of Stephanie McMahon, although they had that promo a couple weeks ago where she just kind of buried AJ along with everybody else. But yeah, I don't know what they have planned with AJ, but obviously because of what you laid out, that makes the most sense.
I'm going to give you through the break to think about this, but does AJ's neck tattoo bother you? Because they sure have been making a big deal out of it on Raw every single week. They obviously think that she's out of her mind. So we're going to talk about this when we come back from the break. Plus, going to preview the rest of the show, and we got a lot of news. So stick around, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app. If you have a smartphone, go to the App Store and grab the TuneIn Radio app, and you search Sports Byline USA, a Wrestling Observer, and you can listen to this show live, and you can listen to replays. You can also check us out if you have Sirius Satellite Radio on the app. Same thing, search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer. We'll pop right up. And the iHeartRadio Talk Radio Portal. There are 60 million subscribers to iHeartRadio, and all of them have full access to this program. You can listen to the show live, you can listen to replays. It is quite the little feature right there. Also, if you tune in late and you want to replay quick, you don't want to wait for them to go up on any of the other apps, just go to WrestlingObserver.com because this show is available free the moment it goes off the air. So as soon as Hell in a Cell starts, you can be watching Hell in a Cell and listening to a replay of this show as we preview Hell in a Cell. Now, WrestlingObserver.com also has a subscription area for $10.99 a month. $10.99. You get full access not only to every brand new show we ever do, and if you're new around here, we do a lot more than Wrestling Observer Live. We do daily radio shows at WrestlingObserver.com every single day, several times a day, in fact. I'm going to do three shows today, three shows here on Sunday. I got Wrestling Observer Live, I got a Brian and Vinny show later, and then I have another Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer, all tonight. Now, as a subscriber, you not only get all of these brand new shows, but you get the full archives, every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005. Over 6,000 audio shows are available for you in the archives. Now, I got another letter this week, a guy who, he'd been a freeloader for a long, long time. He only listened to the free shows, and he decided, what the heck, it's $10.99. I am going to check out this subscription area. And he sent me the nicest letter this week saying, oh my God, I love it. I don't know why I didn't do it earlier. Let the world know. So I'm letting the world know right now. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Try it out for a month. It's only $10.99. And if you like what you hear, I think you'll be around for a while. All right, enough of the plugs. We are talking wrestling, pro wrestling, Hell in a Cell, the pay-per-view. It starts moments after the show goes off the air. And your thoughts, Mike, as we were talking about before the break, on Brie Bella's neck tattoo. They will not let up on this neck tattoo. Now they're joking that, is she going to tattoo the date that she loses the title? Which, I guess, is a valid question. What do you think about this?
Absolutely a valid question.
Does this bother you, this neck tattoo?
Yes.
It bothers you?
Yes, it does.
Why is that?
I have a problem with neck tattoos in general.
I see.
I don't know what it is. Why, again, and this is now, hers is hidden because she's got long hair and it's underneath, you know, on her neckline. And I don't think she's got any plans of being bald soon or anything like that. So I don't know. I'm not a big tattoo guy as it is. I do, you know, understand them. I think they're kind of beating it up a little bit because they want to beat her up on it for whatever reason it is. That they want to do that because obviously JBL and Jerry Lawler have been, you know, just hammering it every time she's been out. But it does, again, you're a wrestler, so let me ask you, who's the biggest marks out there? Is it the fans or is it the wrestlers? Because, you know, it seems to be that this is, they're riding her so hard and making fun of her for it as, you know, being a mark for yourself or a mark for something that, you know, essentially you didn't really win. You just were told here, this is what's going to happen and you get this. But then again, as a really huge wrestling fan, you know, I have memorabilia and things like that. I could never imagine getting the date of something stamped on me or tattooed on me. But, you know, she was a huge fan growing up. She's a fan now, and she loves what she does. So I don't know. It's just, again, it's goofy to me, although the way they keep beating on it, I don't know.
I've got the ICWA Texarkana television title right over there, sitting in my office.
Polish that thing up and keep the leather soft?
Well, I've got a special airtight glass container that it goes in.
Really?
You know? No, of course not. But it's I don't polish it up regularly. But don't know if I've told this story on the air. I once considered getting our logo, the Teal Day Bang F4W logo, tattooed on my hand. Did you know this?
I did, like Boss Rutten style? I did not know this.
Yeah, I did. I thought, you know, everything I have in my life, I owe to this website, this brand, so to speak. And so I seriously considered getting this tattoo just really small on my hand. And I got all the way into the tattoo parlor. And I swear to God, the guy that worked at the tattoo parlor, the guy that was going to actually do the tattoo and was going to make money from me, he said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I have a website and a newsletter and a radio show." And he says, "So you use your hands a lot, right?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I can't give you this tattoo." And I was like, "And why is that?" He goes, "Well, you know, hand tattoos, if they get infected, you can lose your hand." That's like,
wow, that's
hold on a second. You're talking me out of getting a tattoo here. And furthermore, who has a job that doesn't involve their hands? Isn't that like every job?
Soccer players.
Even doing this radio, you got still got to throw the ball back in if you're the goalie, right?
Good, yeah, you're right.
What job doesn't involve your hands? This was like the worst tattoo parlor. I mean, he was looking out for my best interest and everything like that, but I just thought
maybe you're not giving him enough credit. Maybe
no, I'm
he
giving
was
him
just
a lot of credit. I'm very thankful that I don't have a tattoo of my logo on my hand right now. But
well,
still,
he was just giving you a creative way of saying, I hate that tattoo. I'm not giving it to you. I think it's going to suck. You're going to get gangrene and lose a hand one day, possibly, maybe.
That's like me saying, okay, so you want to subscribe to our website? Well, listen, do you have a job that requires thinking? Because if you sign up, you may be listening to this stuff and you may be distracted. It will affect your thinking and you could be fired, end up unemployed, and lose everything. So I recommend you don't sign up.
Which means you would not have the money that every month to sign up for the site.
Exactly. I just thought the whole thing was really weird. But yeah, that was the only tattoo I ever considered getting. But I do have the Texarkana title right there. I'm holding it for Larry when he comes back.
R.I.P. Well, it's, you know, again, I think they obviously are. This is digs at her, and for whatever reason, it is. Now, again, as somebody who knows a lot of wrestlers and things like that, is this good-hearted, do you think it is? Or do you think it's just something that they've got and they're able to jump on and just beat to death like they do a lot of the times? Obviously, Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn feeding Jerry Lawler lines on Jim Ross have been classic. Do you think it's just something where they're getting their jollies, or do you think there's something more to this where they want to stick a needle in and twist it?
Well, obviously they want to stick a needle in and twist it.
It's not all fun time happiness. They're just, you know.
Are you kidding me, Mike? Is this a valid question?
Well, you know, she's going out with CM Punk, correct?
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor there. So, I mean, you know, do you really want to rile him up by, you know, messing with his woman?
I don't know.
Well, besides, does it really matter all that much? I know it has not been a focal point of the JBL and Cole show or anything like that. You think it's just, it's a way in a craptastic women's match, and not to insult AJ, but every other woman on the roster for the most part, except for Natty, stinks. So do you think it's just a way to have something out there where it's filling some time and trying to distract you from the pile of poo that's in the ring?
I think they're just trying to alert everybody else, do not get a tattoo of the day that you won a fake belt.
Which, you know, you would think, you'd talk going back to thinking again, I don't know, it's just me and how I was raised, you figure you wouldn't want to do something like that anyway. You know, if it's like getting your first job or getting your first promotion or something like that, why you'd want to draw that on yourself, I don't know. But then again, I don't know why you'd want to draw a picture of like your infant child on your body or some praying hands or like some Sanskrit or some Bible verses down your leg, any of that stuff. I don't understand it. You know, just read the book. Are you going to forget one day while you're in the bathroom? I don't have anything to read. I'm just going to, you know, pull my pants down a little bit more where I have this nice calf tattoo of something. I don't understand.
Well, it's certainly not going to do any good if it's on the back of her neck then.
It's like old man radio here. I don't understand the tattoos.
Cody Rhodes and Goldust against The Shield and The Usos in a triple threat match for the tag team titles. I think it's too early to take the belts off Goldust and Cody Rhodes. Who do you, what's your pick here?
I think Goldust and Cody Rhodes, I would figure, you know, getting the win over the Usos somehow, maybe it's somebody from the Shield takes a shot at one of the Usos, and then somehow, you know, Goldust, they ends up with the pin. The Usos were put in here, I think, you know, as number one contenders, they supposedly had it. I think it's a good way, as you said, it gets them in there from that point of view, and the fact that this probably should have been their match at some point along the lines here before they got tied up with the Rhodes. And the fact that you want this to extend down, you want somebody else to take the loss, so that's what I'm figuring would happen.
And finally, Los Matadores against the Real Americans. And Mike, you've got a full 3 minutes here to talk about how badly you want to see Antonio Cesaro do a 100 rep giant swing on El Torito, which is the only thing I'm hoping for on this entire pay-per-view.
Desperately, I'm hoping for this. There are two wrestlers in Japan, Haruka Aigen and Mitsuo Momoda, and they would get into matches, and they would have the giant swing spot, and they would have this spit spot that was really awesome. They wrestled for Pro Wrestling Noah, and it was awesome. And I know this is not going to be an epic feud by anyone's, you know, feelings. The Colognes are great wrestlers. They've got this gimmick with the Matadores, and you have the Real Americans, and all of this stuff doesn't matter. I am happy that Dutch Mantel or Uncle Zeb, whatever the hell his name is, Zeb Coulter, is bringing back Shoe Baby, his bull whip, to try to counter Torito. But it's what we're all hoping for, isn't it? I mean, I'm sorry. Antonio Cesaro with a thousand rep one, where he actually somehow throws him up Spike Dudley style in ECW up into the crowd. I don't know. It's just, there's the only reason that this match is on this show and is on the main card is for a, again, 50,000 rep giant swing. That would be great.
I need to see this. I don't think he can get 50 grand, but I honest to God think he could do at least 100. So what if Los Matadores get laid out and El Torito does some sort of wacky dive or whatever, and Cesaro catches him, and he sets up for his giant swing. And he starts swinging, and we got one, two, three, and around, and around, and around, and around. And you go, and you go, and you go, and we're at 50, and we're at 60, and we're at 70. Believe me, after about 25, the place is going to go nuts. After about 50, they're going to be jumping up and down. And after 100, he's going to be the biggest babyface on the roster. And since he's a heel right now, you may as well beat him one last time. So after the 250th rep or whatever it is, the bull goes flying and he falls down, has no idea where he's at, and he gets pinned by his own giant swing. What do you think about that?
I absolutely love that idea. Like, he falls over, falls down. There's a giant frog splash or something like that for the pin. And yeah, tomorrow night when they walk out on Raw, they will end up being, well, at least Antonio Cesaro will be the biggest baby face out there.
Well, he needs to be blamed for the loss and then whipped repeatedly. And then he breaks away.
Hey, look, it's the idea of Cesaro and Swagger in a feud, there's a lot of other matchups that hurt my feelings a lot more than that. I could tolerate that.
I'll tell you why I think he's turning here in just a second. We're going to head to our break. When we come back, why do I believe that Antonio Cesaro is turning babyface, aside from the obvious? Talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a short segment here. We're talking about the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And I have a theory. This is why I believe that Antonio Cesaro is about to turn babyface. You ready for this?
I am.
It's because he's very popular. No. I think he's about to turn babyface because, obviously, the giant swing is a babyface move. That's number one. But if you'll recall, on television of late, who has he been giant swinging?
Well, huge men.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is a very, very babyface thing to do.
Well, no. Well, that and before he turns, he's got to swing every single one of those giant babyfaces. So the fact that they're getting them all out of the way right now leads me to think that that this dude is about to make the big turn.
You know, and it, he'd be a completely, to me, what a surprising baby face and the way that Cesaro's gotten over. Obviously, it hasn't been Cena-esque or anything like that, but it has been somewhat impressive in the fact that they gave him that U.S. title and basically buried him into the ground with it. The fact that he's been able to get over and being one of those guys where, just like Punk and just like Brian, he was around on the indies for a long, long time, and it shows you that sooner or later, sometimes that sort of thing pays off. Maybe not in the way that everyone, a fan out there, would want it to, but as far as a career goes, again, those three guys right now, for whatever you say about their storylines, are looking really good.
They are, and we'll see what happens here tonight, but they're facing the Los Matadores and the Real Americans. It's a tag team match, no stips, and maybe the bull will be swung tomorrow. I know that they like to do the big things on Raw.
I'm spending $50. I want to see bulls spun tonight. Get the midget blue monkey from CMLL for tomorrow night. I want to see Torito spun tonight.
Let's not get too excited. You punch the mic every time there, Mike. Come on now.
Sorry.
All right.
Fired up.
We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap this up, and then we've got tons of pro wrestling and MMA news to talk about, so stick around. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Now, it is football season, and as a result, there are going to be times when this show is preempted on Sirius. What can you do? Well, got a lot of options. You can go to the Sirius Satellite Radio app and search for Sports Byline or Wrestling Observer. It'll come up. You can go to the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Just go to the App Store, grab the TuneIn Radio app, and you can listen to this show live on the Sports Byline Network every Sunday, football or not. You can also go to WrestlingObserver.com. Show streams live from the front page, or if you tune in late, you can head over there, and moments after this show goes off the air, the replay is available at WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go for the replay. It's going to go head-to-head with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, so you can actually watch the pay-per-view and listen to our preview at the same time. And how interesting that's going to be, I'm sure. So the show is tonight, and we've run over the entire card. And Mike, before we go, if there were, and here's putting you on a spot with 30 seconds, one big surprise on the show. What do you think it's going to be?
Ooh. Pretty much, I guess, how Big Show actually enters and interferes in the match, or maybe they have somebody else do it. I mean, it's possible they could do that. Have Big Show as a distraction and maybe bring somebody else out, but I just think it's going to be him tearing through the bottom of the ring, I think is the way they're going to go with that.
Through the bottom of the ring, so not tearing off the cage door.
Nope, I think that one's been done too much. I think people would be expecting that one with Big Show coming out as he's been doing. So I think they actually do something like that that's a huge mega surprise.
Well, I do know that originally when he was going to break in, it was going to be through the door, but you may be right. You may be right. Maybe just lifting up the entire cage. He's a big, strong guy. All right, when we come back, what do we got to talk about? AJ and TNA, Bound for Glory. Ring of Honor Television, they taped a lot of it last night. There's a new belt for Jay Briscoe. Bellator, UFC, World Series of Fighting. I hope we have time. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Just go to the App Store, get the TuneIn Radio app. You can search Sports Byline USA, search for Wrestling Observer, and there we are. Also available, iHeartRadio, the iHeart Talk Portal, iHeart.com. Go to the Talk Portal, search Talk, Wrestling Observer, Sports Byline, and there we are. And if you tune in late and you want to replay right now, go to WrestlingObserver.com and it will be up the moment the show goes off the air head-to-head with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Now, Hell in a Cell is tonight. Last week was the TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view. And we went off the air talking about the pay-per-view. And in fact, our prediction was that AJ Styles was going to win the title, and then he was going to leave a la CM Punk. That is exactly what happened. Now, the word we got was that the storyline was such that they were going to redo CM Punk leaving WWE without a contract, but they were going to do it better. Mike, in your opinion, did they do it better?
If by better you mean much, much worse and much more painful for me as a viewer on Thursday, then yes. Yes, they did. That was... I don't know. I think I had sent you a text. I was just flabbergasted in some of the holes that they have had. Now, there's been holes in the WWE stories, you know, obviously with how Big Show's getting into the building, how he gets a truck in there and the whole nine yards, you know, which will come to a head and be explained. Why AJ Styles, who did not want to work for this company, who wanted to hold them up for money, with a woman that does not want him there, absolutely, positively does not want him there, was being very disingenuous about it on Monday, why he would come and work when he is not under a contract to work on a show for a woman that hates him without medical, without getting paid, without any of that sort of stuff, is going to have to be something that it should be explained but won't. And no matter how they get there to try to explain it, it probably won't make any sense. The whole thing was painful, right down to taking, you know, the television breaks, commercial breaks where they did.
So at the pay-per-view, let's talk about some of the top matches here very quickly. Obviously, AJ won the title and then left, as we noted. And also on the show, we had Magnus and Sting. And by the way, Bully and AJ was generally a clean finish. Not the cleanest finish of all time, but it worked out. They had Aces and Eights attempt to run in and everything like that. And interestingly enough, they teased earlier on the show that Aces and Eights, they were all back together again. And then lo and behold, none of them came out. And it wasn't followed up on television. So I don't know what's going on with Aces and Eights. Hopefully they're gone. But they did the match. And Dixie Carter tried to interfere. Didn't work. And then AJ hit his spiral tap at the end and won the title and left. And then, as you noted, he was so angry. He was so angry at Dixie Carter that he returned. He turned down a great financial deal after demanding that she was going to have to pay. He worked on her television show for free and put his title on the line. It made no sense.
Now, and then committed grand larceny.
And then he stole a car. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. So yeah, so far the storyline is not lighting my world on fire, and now they're leading to the tournament where Dixie's just going to go off and crown a new champion, which if that's the case, why was she so concerned that he was leaving with the belt? Just make a new champion, which is what she did, which means why should I care about any of this? I don't know. I guess we'll see. But that was the main event. Also, Magnus and Sting. Magnus tapped him out with a Texas Cloverleaf. And then kind of gave him a cocky handshake and walked off, and this angle must continue. But this also leads to Sting somehow getting in a gauntlet match where the winner of the gauntlet match enters a tournament for the title, despite the fact that Sting lost a match where he was never allowed to challenge for the title again. Now, I guess the loophole can be that, well, it's a new title. The TNA title's gone. We're making a new Impact Wrestling title, and therefore Sting is eligible to try to win this belt. I guess that's probably where they're going to go. But it seems to me, and I could be wrong, that with Eric Bischoff not being around for the last few shows and being at home, I guess the official story is that he's working from home, but some people believe he's gone. Kind of... Maybe seems to me like they're trying to rewrite some storylines here that maybe had been written by somebody else. I don't know. Or just nothing's making sense. I haven't decided yet. What are your thoughts on how all of this is going?
it's not going well. like you said, I mean, this is the, you know, it was teased by some as being, you know, it was supposed to be the CM Punk storyline. Everything that they did wrong, we're going to do right. And no, see, with a lot of these storylines, I mean, I don't know, with Magnus, it just, I think they turned him way too early. I think they could have had Sting put him over kind of in the way that they did. It was a clean finish, although it led to lots of groans from the crowd, and you immediately have Magnus kind of cockily walking off on his own. You know, one of the biggest things, the only big things that they have coming up here in the next couple of months is their tour in the UK. And obviously you'd figure Magnus is going to get a big push there and is going to be in heavy play there. I think they could have waited on this a little bit because they are just, again, a bunch of storylines that there's a reason there's a million people that tune in every week, yet nobody goes and buys the pay-per-view, or there's not enough interest to go out there and spend money to watch these guys on the road. It's because of stuff like this, and regardless of if they're trying to get out of something or what it is, there's, you know, there's been a zillion times over the years where there's been a whole lot more money at play in a lot of way with bookers who leave and stuff like that, and people need to run in, and, you know, guys no show and you fill in things because then you got to change the storyline on the fly. It's not like this is, you know, unmarked territory here. I mean, this has happened in wrestling for, you know, decades and decades and decades. You have to bail yourself out of something, and it's how they go about doing it and coming up with this nonsensical stuff that you can poke holes through and then never even coming close to stitching it back up and then just basically ignoring it, which is what they'll probably do with the Sting storyline as far as challenging for a title goes. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of ludicrous.
So Magnus is the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Is that your prediction?
I think it's coming down the line. What, you know, that's what I would figure here if they're going to do this tournament.
Or do they even do a new champion? Because I just figured they're going to go to all this trouble for a tournament, and when it comes down to the finals, AJ is just going to run in and ruin the whole thing. Which, by the way, why would he do that? I don't know. He's just making her pay.
But again, why would he do any of the stuff that he's doing? That was the part of Monday where it was just so frustrating to me, because it's like, so you, they're a company that hates you, doesn't want anything to do with you. You turn down a deal and then, you know, risk. Again, I don't know if this, like, they thought we would figure that this is just, you know, this is what men do. You know, he loves this title so much and he loves the fans so much. He knows he can be on TV. It just, even that, I mean, if you're going to do that route, it shouldn't have been explained. It just stunk. It was really bad. And again, where they, you know, this is supposed to be a company changing thing here. She's trying to get the champion back. I mean, it's that big of a deal. And then you throw it to commercial, you know, it just, I don't know. It's really poorly, poorly done.
I just want to know, like, what does he want? You know what I mean? Like, he said he wanted her to pay, but then she offered him everything and then he just left. So what is his, I mean, if we don't understand his motivation, if we don't understand why he's doing this, he's just doing this to be mean. He's just doing this to stick it to her. What does he want to come back? What is his goal? Where, I mean, he said, I'm going to take it to the people. What does that even mean? Not to mention, you've got a storyline here where the fans are cheering for him to leave. They're cheering for him to not re-sign with TNA. They are cheering for him to go elsewhere. I'm not sure how that benefits the company. It's a little baffling to me. But maybe it will be explained here soon. Back in a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, iHeart.com, talk radio portal at iHeartRadio, and replay is always available immediately after the show goes off the air up at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking the Bound for Glory show and then the follow-up on Impact. What is going on with AJ Styles? Neither of us have much of a explanation for any of this. I don't know what's going on with the guy. But we've got a tournament coming up. And the other big news, there's a lot of big news coming out of TNA, none of which really, the biggest news has anything to do with storyline. As Dave noted on the show last night, there are things going on in regards to future ownership of the company. His story is that the Carters are looking to get out. And who they would sell to is anybody's guess. Who would be in charge is anybody's guess. I have always thought that maybe it would be best if Spike TV just bought Impact, like they bought Bellator, you know, and then they'd have, you know, they'd have a lot of incentive to keep that thing going. Bellator following Impact always does better than Bellator on its own. So they got some synergy together. I don't know if it's Spike. I don't know who it is, but certainly that is interesting. And on top of that, the house show schedule, house shows are gone for the time being. The talent seems to think they're going to be back full force at the end of the year. No mention of whatever the next pay-per-view is going to be, and granted, it would be about 3 months away. So there are a lot of people in TNA that are very confused. Some are very, very hopeful. Some think this is all about to turn around. And some feel, man, big changes are coming, and there's no guarantee that these are going to be good changes. So it's a very interesting time in TNA. And Mike, I guess let's do some Todd's odds here. Todd's odds that the Carters still own TNA in 2014.
In 2014? Well, it's a, you know, 75-25. I mean, lots of times deals don't get wrapped up. We're looking at October, where are we at here? 27th. So it's possible that they go into the new year, and maybe, you know, they could have a deal in principle or something like that. But again, I don't know how far along the line that they're trying to get rid of this thing. It's been, you know, talked about for, you know, God knows how long that, you know, when will the Carters be able to stop hemorrhaging the money for TNA? When does it stop being a loss leader and become a, you know, a big headache and a big problem? With what Dave's saying, though, and that creeping out means they've probably been working on something for a while. And if there's, you know, who knows who the major names are that are in play on this thing, just don't know. So I guess if nothing else, 50-50, but I'll go 75-25 just because of the time of the year.
All right. What are your Todd's odds that they are running regular house shows in 2014?
At some point, it's possible. I'll put it at about... I'll put it at 20%, a 1 in 5 chance that happens. But
only a 1 in 5 chance by 2014 that they're running a regular house show schedule?
Oh, by two or sometime in 2014?
Sometime in 2014.
Hey, look, they could run, you know, attempt to try to do the Hermie Sadler shows, which I don't know if they were sold shows or not, in like Danville, Virginia and stuff like that. When they'd go there, I think it may have been under the auspices of his UWA or whatever they called it or anything, but them going, you know, smartly planned times where they go and tape an Impact 4 months for 6 months from now in Detroit because they know they can draw there and then hit Windsor and like three other places. I could see them doing it on a very small fractured scale as far as a house show run like they've tried to do here in the past couple of months with the TV tapings and that sort of thing, or how they've done it before. I think it's, you know, that's a minimal, you know, call that zero. But as far as doing something, yeah, I could see them doing a little bit of something, you know, 20% thing where they have just very well planned ones at places where they know they can go. Look, Salt Lake City again, if 7 months comes down the road and you go, hey, let's try them for the next pay-per-view spot and we'll tape, Impact there, you know, for a couple of shows and maybe run a spot show just cause we're in that area for a week. Maybe something like that. I could see something like that actually occurring, or not a week, but at least, you know, over a weekend.
You know, it's interesting. I didn't even realize this until this morning when I saw a picture of his belt. Have you seen Jay Briscoe's new ROH title belt that he's created for himself?
I have not, but I can only imagine the possibilities of how glorious.
It is amazing. It has got his likeness on it. It has got a camouflage leather strap. It is, if you've ever seen like the Smoking Skull belt a Rock's old Brahma Bull belt, which actually, I don't know if that ever made TV. I've certainly seen it. But it is an amazing piece of work. And anyway, I was looking at it and I was like, so hold on a second. So we've got it's not the same storyline, it's a different storyline. But in ROH and TNA, we've got a guy who, I guess Jay Briscoe didn't really leave with the belt, but he believes he's the uncrowned champion. And I presume that TNA is going to create a storyline. And so AJ is going to feel he's the uncrowned champion, or he's still the champion, or however it's going to work. So, I don't know. Which company do you think is going to do it better, Mike?
I'm going to go with Ring of Honor. And before I say anything else, I'll just let you know that the Pew Boys Lawn Care Service actually serves all of Sussex County. So if you have any needs for any sort of lawn care or landscaping, you should call the Briscoes, because with their Toro lawnmower, I know they can do some work. And maybe he even brings along the belt with him on one of these jobs. But Ring of Honor with Nigel McGuinness, with Kevin Kelly, with the stability at least that they have there, with the guys involved, you know, there's not much you can't do with the Briscoes and make it entertaining. So I would throw my full faith behind Ring of Honor on this one.
All right, we got to talk about UFC. A lot of things, actually. We talked about the big UFC 166 last week. Last night was UFC in the UK. And the main card was fascinating. We had dudes knocked out. We had dudes submitted. We had dudes cut open by illegal knees. We had a dude almost getting knocked out because he decided he was going to put his mouthpiece back in after it fell out. Quite a wacky main card. What did you think of the show?
I like the show a lot. It's been one of the few I've been actually able to pretty much sit there and see live from the not the Facebook promos, it was on YouTube, the YouTube preliminaries. I watched all those, and then because I don't get FS2, I had to watch Fox Deportes for the main show, which featured Fabricio Verdum actually on commentary for Fox Sports Deportes. But it was an entertaining show. You know, you don't have too many expectations going into a show like this, and on the fight nights, you know, especially when they're taking place in other countries, there may only be one or two matches you really want to see on the entire show, so you can set your expectations low. And you know, I was pleasantly surprised by most of it. Obviously, the Giard Pearson fight was disappointing. You know, he ended up needing 30 stitches to close the cut that he had after the illegal knees, which. You know, it's such a tough thing, because I don't think Melvin didn't have any idea whatsoever when he threw these two knees where Ross Pearson's hand was. I am completely convinced of that. So his hand could have been on the ground for all we know, and Melvin could have thrown those two knees and not have any idea whatsoever. With that said, his hand was actually coming off the ground, and he was trying to raise up when he got hit with the first when Pearson got hit with the first knee. And then the second knee came as he was putting his hand back down, which led to the no contest. They called it an accidental foul, but you know, just kind of a disappointing finish there. And something also, there was an eye poke earlier on in the show too. Those are two things that it's going to be tough, because you don't really want to see pride style knees, you know, to the face and to the side of the head on the ground. You know, it's a nasty aesthetic to have. But with that said, also a nasty aesthetic is seeing a woman getting beating, basically her face beaten in. And whether it was a woman or a man, the Jessica Andrade Rossi Sexton fight should have probably been stopped in the second round, even though Rossi was very game and she took it to a third round. Those were just two, you know, badass, you know, aesthetic things that happened in on the show. And I just, the Pearson knee, again, it was bad. But with that said, I don't know how you legislate something like that, or if, you know, maybe an instant replay thing where you pause the fight and see.
Yeah, but let me cut you off here very quickly. So I'm not a fan of the rule where you can put one finger on the ground and you're a downed opponent. And they're actually talking about abolishing that rule. But here's the thing. If the guy is so low that you need instant replay to determine whether his knee or his hand was on the ground, then maybe the guy probably shouldn't have thrown the knee. You know what I mean? Because
no, you're exactly right. Because look, Melvin, you know, again, maybe somebody's got a different opinion on this watching it. Melvin didn't know if his hand was down or not.
No, he didn't. And if you can't tell if the guy's hand or knee is down, then you should probably err on the side of caution and not throw a knee at his face. Right?
That's true. But also, it would have taken them 1 second also to see his hand going back down before you go, get back into position, this continues on.
Or just throw a knee at the dude's body, you know? If the guy is down low enough, aim for the body. If you're not sure, is his hand down or not, I'm going to don't take a gamble, you know? And I realize, when I watched it, it was like, part of me was, okay, it's in the heat of the battle. He's just like, they're out of their mind. They're just going crazy. But then, the other part of me is, as it was happening, I was like, dude, what are you doing? The guy's down. So it's not like I needed instant replay to think, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that. I mean, it was pretty obvious watching it that, okay, this is a questionable place where your opponent is. So maybe now is not the time to be throwing knees like a crazy person. We're going to talk more about this show. A lot to talk about when we come back from the break. And we've got a lot of news. Got to talk about what's going on with Bellator. Not a lot's going on, actually, since fights are being canceled. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. As we've mentioned a million times, you can hear this show everywhere. Go to the App Store if you've got a smartphone, and download the TuneIn Radio app, and you can not only listen to the show live, but you can listen to replays of this show, as well as if you've got the Sirius Satellite Radio app, and you can go online to iHeart.com, go to the Talk Radio portal, and there we are, 60 million subscribers. We're available over the air on Sports Byline, satellite radio, all over the internet, including WrestlingObserver.com. This is the most listened to wrestling radio show in the entire world. And archives are available immediately after the show goes off the air at WrestlingObserver.com. We also have a subscription area up at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. And for that price, you not only do you get radio shows every single day, this is not just a once-a-week show. We do radio every single day on the website. I have 3 shows today. I'm doing this show right now. I've got a Brian and Vinny show later and a Wrestling Observer radio later. Not only do we do shows every single day, but 6,000 shows are available in the archives. Every show we have ever done, dating back to 2005, is available in the archives right now. So, if you head over there and you have a commute, you like to listen to audio when you work out, you like to listen to audio in the cubicle, you will never run out of audio. I don't think it's possible for you to run out of audio, unless you listen to it like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in which case, I don't know what to tell you. But, if you listen to radio like a normal person, you will never run out of audio, and it will only cost you $10.99 a month. So if you're a fan of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you will love your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. If you head up there right now, on the right-hand side of the page, we have a listing of our latest free radio shows. Download them. Download them and listen to them. They're all different. They're all unique. And if you like what you hear, just think, 6,000 shows in the archives, waiting for you right now for only $10.99. So head up there and check that out, and then be the next guy to send me the email going, man, I was a freeloader. What was I doing? I signed up. It's the best thing I've ever done. Thanks so much. I get those. Actually, they're getting pretty regular now that I've started doing this plug here. So I want to thank everybody who has signed up. Really appreciate it. We're here talking about UFC last night, and Lyoto Machida knocked out a big KO of Mark Munoz in the first round. A Mirko Krokop finish. Just knocked him in the next week. And now we have a very interesting 185-pound division where you've got he's not the champion. Anderson Silva was the champion. He could conceivably be the champion again come December. And if he beats Chris Weidman, well, you've got Lyoto Machida that doesn't want to fight Anderson Silva. And you've got Jacare Souza, who doesn't want to fight Anderson Silva. So it's a very strange situation because they are two of the top fighters now in that division, especially after Lyoto's performance last night. So, Mike, the first question is, do you expect Anderson Silva to regain the title from Chris Weidman?
Boy, let me go with yes, just for the hell of it. I'll go against Chris Weidman, although I don't know. I mean, you know, I liked Chris Weidman, but I had doubted what everybody was saying, you know, because, again, everybody that seemed to be in the UFC or other fighters or stuff like that, you know, they all seemed to come out and say, you know, Weidman's going to have Anderson Silva's number, or at least he's got a really good shot at beating him. And it was really tough for anyone to believe. But, you know, was it just hype, all that sort of stuff? And look at what he did. So it's hard to say that. You know, we'd have to see if Weidman's actually truly his kryptonite or not, but he certainly was for one night. And as skilled as Anderson Silva is, I don't know. I really don't know. But for argument's sake, I'll go ahead and say Anderson Silva wins, which at least gives you another Weidman fight, if nothing else. Now, after that, who knows? But I guess the best case scenario could possibly be Anderson Silva winning the belt back. You have a fight with him and Weidman again, you know, a third fight after that. And then you could get Weidman and Machida, which that would be really interesting to me, especially a little bit down the line, because Machida can, you know, obviously, except for John Jones, who was such a physical freak, it's his style that just completely mesmerizes a lot of other guys, especially really good wrestlers, where they get drawn into his trap and he ends up winning the fights. And Weidman, at this point in his career, again, very young and everything, facing a little bit older Machida down the line, that's a very interesting fight. It would be interesting now as well, but I think down the line, that's something I'm actually looking forward to, you know, a little bit further down if Machida decides to stay at 185.
What about... If Anderson Silva beats Chris Weidman, and then they do the trilogy fight, and win or lose, Anderson Silva retires after that fight and opens up the entire division. Because he is getting old. He has a lot of fights left on his deal. But he's talked about retirement before. And granted, anything that Anderson Silva says, you just kind of are like, well, you know, it's Anderson Silva. But he could conceivably win or lose. Hopefully win, because then you can set up that third fight. And then in the third fight, which is going to be another, I don't know, 6-8 months down the road, he'd be nearly 39 or 39. How old is Anderson Silva? When's his birthday? But the point is, he could do that as his final fight, win, lose, or draw, and then retire and vacate the title. And lo and behold, there we go. April. So he would be 39 years old when they did this rematch. And God knows, and in fact, Machida himself, this was kind of interesting, Machida did an interview recently and suggested that he didn't know how long Anderson would be fighting. So it's possible that those two have talked, and this is Silva's plan. I'm going to do another fight or two, and then I'm out of here. The division's yours.
Or even, you know, because he does have extra fights on his deal, too. I know a lot of people hate this, you know, from a pure sports point of view. They hate this thought, but he basically retires from, I don't want to say active competition, but, you know, him facing a guy, or him in a super fight, or, you know, just him facing a guy in Brazil just to do it, like a going away, you know, couple of fights down there or something like that, or in a super fight, quote unquote, with a GSP or somebody like that. You know, a Nick Diaz just to do it or something like that. I could definitely see that happening too, where he's just not involved in at play in the title. You know, he's not about that. He's just riding out the streak and being a personality fighter, you know, until it's over.
We've also got to talk about Bellator. They had a pay-per-view coming up next weekend, and it is now a free television show. Why? Because the main event, Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson, is off the show. Why? Well, apparently Tito Ortiz fractured his neck in training. And you know it's serious because he's fought before, Mike, with a cracked skull. He's fought with every injury you can possibly imagine. And this was the one where his doctor said, dude, paralyzed. You could be paralyzed if you get, if you take the wrong shot, the wrong bump, so to speak. So he is off the show. And with him off the show, there is no more pay-per-view. Now, King Mo is on the record with Dave, having said that, you know, I was willing to go face Rampage Jackson, and I told them, and they did not make the fight. So, Dave's theory I don't know what you think about this, Mike, is that they just didn't want to run a pay-per-view. And when Tito got injured, this was their opportunity to pull the entire thing off the table. What are your thoughts on this theory, and do you see, Todd Zods, any chance of Bellator ever actually running a pay-per-view?
It's really going to be hard. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that they were going to run a pay-per-view at all, I mean, one of the things that in the back of their mind was they could have Eddie Alvarez on it too, you know, and in theory to in their, you know, not shut him up or anything like that. But see, we are running pay-per-views like we said we would. We can match that UFC deal. And with it falling apart, you know, you already have a match with Alvarez set up anyway. I mean, he wins this, he wins another one, he's gone. He loses this, he's gone. So I don't think they have any interest at all. And if the rumors are true, I don't know. But the attendance numbers that they had coming into this thing and really, you know, it's not like I got a huge finger on the television community or anything like that, but there's no buzz for this at all. There's no buzz for this, you know, as far as pay-per-view goes. There's no buzz for this as far as anything goes, much less, you know, as far as fight fans. It's just better off that it happened this way because, again, that way you don't have to pay Rampage. I know you have X amount you have to pay them, but, you know, to do Rampage and Mo, is that really something that, you know, to go quote unquote save the show with that? Did you want to do that? You know, you had Attila Vey, you know, him and Rampage, was that something that you wanted to do? It's just, I don't think they wanted to run one. And from how it sounds, attendance, and again, just with a little bit of a pulse on it, they were ice cold and just completely, you know, again, bad idea all the way around for this thing, and it probably ends like it should, which we get in theory, a pretty damn good show on Spike.
Now, the Eddie Alvarez situation is very strange. Now, granted, there's nothing that can be done now because he resigned, but a lot of the issue between Eddie Alvarez and Bellator came down to this pay-per-view deal, and now there isn't a pay-per-view. And as you noted, he signed a really weird deal where if he loses to Michael Chandler, he's a free agent. And if he wins, he has one more fight and he's also a free agent. I don't know who this whole situation. I don't want to talk about it a lot because it's very complicated. And quite frankly, I don't know how many people care. And I was talking to Dave about this last night and he had the impression that if Eddie Alvarez loses, I don't know if UFC actually will take him. So it is imperative that he wins. But when I look at the numbers that were being offered Eddie Alvarez, and when I hear people talking about how his value would skyrocket and this and that by beating Michael Chandler, I kind of feel like Bellator is not at the level where your average MMA fan cares one way or the other about whether Eddie Alvarez goes to UFC. And maybe I'm just out of my mind, but you know, some of the numbers I saw for Eddie Alvarez, I was like, listen, he's a great fighter, and he's Bellator's biggest star, or he was. I don't know if he is now. He certainly was at the time all of this was going down. But I mean, really, like, what is his value to a normal on the street MMA fan who watches a UFC show every now and then? I don't see him adding one buy, really. Because the people that know Eddie Alvarez are probably buying UFC pay-per-views anyway. They're the hardcores.
Well, and they already did this with Jake Shields and Nate Diaz, and I think maybe it's happened even before to where you had Dan Henderson and Rampage. You've already had the champion coming in from somewhere else or the hyped guy from somewhere else. I don't think that's means as much as it would anymore. I think they absolutely take him, though, whether he loses this or not. But with that said, the deal that he was offered, that whole pay-per-view thing, was more of a big middle finger at Bjorn Rebney by Dana White. Because they figured there's no way they're going to be able to match this thing, and they ended up doing it and getting it upheld in court. But that deal was, you know, Alvarez was just a rider on that thing. It was more about Dana White saying, screw you and your business, Bellator.
That is basically what it was. But that's a very expensive screw you.
If it would have went off, then yeah, but really, would it have? I mean, so you pay him, you know, a percentage of whatever it is. He goes in there and faces, who would it have been? Frankie Edgar at the time at 155, whatever it would have been. And then it okay, then it's over, and then you have the same thing. If he loses two more fights, and we probably wouldn't see Alvarez anymore in the UFC, but that was only a one-time thing where he'd get paid off the pay-per-view, which it would be in a semi-main event or a main event spot. So, you know, it's fine that, you know, he should deserve a piece of that money. But again, it was more of a screw you to Rebney.
Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, very quickly, before we wrap it up here today, tell us a little bit about the New Japan Eye pay-per-view.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but New Japan's been actually running a lot of Eye pay-per-views. In fact, they've scheduled a couple other ones here coming up, but they've been running basically like a mini Super Junior Tag Tournament, and Valiente and Bushi came over. Valiente did from CMLL, came over and got a first-round win teaming with Bushi, and the Young Bucks actually made their first appearance in New Japan and defeated Brian Kendrick and Trent Barretta, believe it or not, of all people. And seemingly from how this thing is looking, we could see a Young Bucks, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov final, which would make a lot of sense and give Romero and Kozlov, again, having those two guys and having Alex Shelley, who's been injured, teaming up with Kushida over there. They do need some blood in that junior tag team division. There's lots of great things in New Japan, but that one division is seems to always get left in the dust a little bit, and they're trying to do a little bit to revive it. So the Young Bucks are there, and it's really the whole thing is coming down pretty soon for Tanahashi. Carl Anderson, actually, too. I should note that Carl Anderson is going to be getting the next shot at Okada for the IWGP title. So that was where the biggest things coming out of the show, and they have a lot more big things coming up, because this is their push, you know, kind of WWE's push for the Royal Rumble leads into WrestleMania. Well, this is now time for their push to lead into the January 4th Tokyo Dome show coming up.
All right, everybody, we are going to wrap it up. We are out of time. Guess what? The WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is about to start. And later on tonight, two more radio shows at WrestlingObserver.com will be produced talking about this pay-per-view. Brian and Vinny's show will be up talking about the program, plus a brand new Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. So it should be a fun time. That's coming up later on tonight. So stick around, WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. You can download the free shows as well. Sign up and get more. It'll be a good time. Next week, we'll be back with a brand new show. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We shall talk to you again after a while. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.